Hello, podcast. That's right. We're back. I know it's been far too long since the boys have been back, but the off season presses on. We are already into April. As we record this, it is still March, but as we will air this episode, it will be in the month of April. So I want to remind everyone to subscribe to the show on all podcast platforms. Find the Huddle Up podcast, and you can get us on YouTube. You can get us on Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. Well, if TikTok's still here when this episode airs, we're still over there at Huddle Up Podcast. We are at Huddle Up Podcast Inc. on Instagram. You can get our merchandise over at tpublic.com. Joining us on the panel today is Ernest DJ Christian. Matt is here. Kyle will likely be jumping in at some point. Mike may be jumping in as well, but EJ, how we doing, man?
I'm doing well. How you doing? How's your spring going so far?
Well, it's still kind of winterish because we live in Pennsylvania currently, but spring's getting closer, and the big trips. I guess I'll be heading your way here shortly. So I will.
It was kind of chilly today, though. It was a mid 60s today.
Get the fuck out of here. I think the wind chill. Yeah, I don't know if it, I honestly didn't even go outside today, so I don't know what the temperature actually was today. But yesterday the wind chill was in like the low 30s. So
went to the pool, no cloud in sight.
Oh, you're a dickhead.
You know,
Matt, how we doing?
Part for the course.
Doing well. I actually prefer the cold, so I'm fine this week. Last week when it got up into the 70s, I was like, nope, not yet. Go away. So
it's got to find that like middle ground for a little bit. Like,
no wonder you're so ornery. That makes sense now, Matt. Love the cold. Makes sense.
Cold black heart. You know how it is.
Yes, cold black heart. Absolutely. I mean, find a lie.
Jeez.
I didn't deny it at all. Chill
exactly. Yeah, he accepted it. He was fine with it. So today on this episode, we're going to talk about college football and the college football playoff and some of the changes that are coming down the way. As we know, this upcoming season, the 2024-2025 season, is the first with the 12-team playoff. But if the reports are true, and it looks like they are, the 12-team playoff is not going to be around for very long. Even as far back as about 2 or 3 weeks ago, at recording time, there was talks that they were already looking at expanding to a 14 team playoff. But today, on March the 19th, it was revealed by Ross Denlinger of Yahoo Sports that the College Football Playoff and ESPN have agreed on a new contract. It'll be a 6-year contract extension through the 2031. Playoff. It will pay out $1.3 billion annually, which is approximately 3 times the current 4-team TV contract. So the number is, not only is the number of teams expanding, the dollar amount, of course, is expanding as well. The format will be finalized later. The four major conference champions and the highest group five. Champion will earn an automatic bid in any format, no matter what happens. Notre Dame will have some sort of a automatic bid depending on ranking. The determined ranking will be broken down and determined, figured out whenever the format gets itself figured out. So let's kind of start there, because I know there's been a lot of talk. I mean, even in this 12-team format, we know that the Big Four conference champions will get the automatic bids, and there'll be a group of five that'll get an automatic bid. I know for me, I'm not the biggest fan of automatic bids. I know why they are in place, and there's no scenario where there's not going to be some form of automatic bid. I think where I have the problem is I think there needs to be some there should be like a minimum ranking spot. when you're looking at the college football playoff rankings and when teams are going to get in, I think there needs to be like a minimum. So whether it's a group of five or even, you know, a power four or big four, I don't know what they're calling, because we used to call them the power five conferences, but and we'll call them the power four for lack of a better word now, RIP Pac-12.
ACC very soon.
Possibly. Yeah. But whether it's you need to be in the top 25, whether it's you need to be a top 20 team, and obviously as this expands to 14, and maybe 20 is not 20 is too high of a number or low of a number, however you view highs and lows. But do you think that as they begin to evaluate this, that there needs to be you need to be at, you know, at least 25 or 30 in the rankings to qualify for this? Are you guys fine for you and your conference you get in? EJ, we'll go first.
No, I'm okay with the rankings on the point, but any system that leaves on the field, I'm okay with. If you earn a spot in the conference championship game and you beat X team in the conference championship game, that you should be automatically allowed to be into the dance and discussion. Anything that is, as long as it's one on the field and less about the computers, less about the rankings, I'm okay with that.
All right, Matt.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I understand the point you're making, but A, it's very unlikely that I think an undeserving team would make it in. I think that really the only example that we can point to, and it hasn't happened, is just how a very overrated Iowa team always makes it to the Big Ten championship, gets embarrassed, and then that's that. So even in those instances, if they would pull the upset, I still think, you know, to your point, they probably would have a top 20, 25 ranking anyway. So unless the goal is to say you have to win your conference and also be in a position that you would have possibly made it otherwise, so like a top 15, then I think that would have to be the limitation, but I don't see them doing that.
Yeah, because I know, like, for example, I mean, Liberty this year, I don't even think, because they would have been the highest ranked group five champion. I don't think they were even in the top 25 at time of the bowl game determinations.
I thought they were maybe the bottom 20.
I thought they had just snuck in.
The bottom 20, something like that.
But you know, they were kind of teetering on that edge, and you know, so like when I look at it and I see that, like, that's the team that probably brings, you know, unfortunately, that's the group that's always going to have the concern. Student of the game, Kyle Nash, hopping in with us. How we doing, my guy?
Hey, glad to be able to jump in. Got a little thrown off from recording stuff for the Student of the Game podcast.
Bing.
But, you know, listen, this is what happens when you have TV guys and radio guys from all over the country coming on to the show here on the Huddle Up Incorporated Network.
I mean, it's the most popular place to be, especially in the off season, is that Student of the Game podcast. Some exciting stuff coming out week by week. So make sure you're subscribed over there as well. So,
but yes, we actually regularly talk NBA.
How about that?
Proud of you, kid. no longer throw language, remember?
Something that like rarely gets done on this feed, although we did get a and one recently for the first time in about 84 years.
That should be motivation for Matt to get his ass.
I do plan to record this weekend, but it's crazy that you have a basketball podcast when baseball is apparently your first love. Learn something new.
That's true. And I'm shocked he came to this episode because he doesn't believe college football is actually a sport.
I mean, the Mets season is over anyway, gentlemen. That's probably
you knew this, right? I knew this. I knew it was in October.
The Mets New Year's season ends when the calendar turns.
It's funny that we all have that one team we root for in whatever sport it is. That's like, fuck, every time, dude. That's the one team that just gives me, you know, that's the one team. The Mets are that team for me.
Speaking of that, props to EJ Christian for not dropping F-bombs on his most recent appearance of the Student of the Game podcast 3 weeks ago.
You're welcome.
That may be one of the most impressive things I've seen this year.
That is, yeah.
I ain't making you proud, Kyle.
Because, like, usually when he's on there, he's like, well, I'm not going to swear today. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he's like, ah, fuck, goddamn shit. Oh, no. And it just goes away from there. So
I'm not gonna swear. Hey, EJ, welcome to the show. How the fuck are you?
Well, you know,
not wrong.
He ain't lying.
But yeah. So back to the point about the rankings, and like I said, I'm not picking on the group of five teams when I'm talking about my hope or desire that will probably never come to fruition of having a minimum ranking position to get in on even a reimagined college football playoff. But there has been instances of years where there's a you have to go back into the BCS era to talk about a bad, no offense, EJ, Florida State team that ended up in an Orange Bowl. Or if you get one of those wild upsets in a conference title game, like those sort of anomalies may happen. I personally, for me, I would love to see it happen where you just kind of have that mark. Like, even if you expand the final ranking or the rankings to 30 spots, you got to be in the 30 to get in the dance or something. But
wouldn't that require like having reform and conference reform all the way through?
I don't think that's accurate. And by the way, as a side note, my understanding was you had to be ranked to get the spot, which to the group of five's credit, whether it's legit or there's some committee work involved, right, so to speak, that seems to have happened consistently, is that we've had somebody from the GO5 that gets in there, be it, you know, previously a UCF or a Cincinnati, or who was the hot thing this year that Pat McAfee was all excited about until they lost a game?
James Madison. Yeah.
So there's regularly somebody from the American specifically often that fills that gap. So I don't think we're at threat for that minimum ranking piece to be an issue in a particular year, unless the group of fives are having a horrible time. I don't see that happening yet. I think there's still enough solid players in that part of the competition realm to achieve that goal. I think it's a reasonable thing to ask for. I don't think you need to expand it to 30. But let's put it this way. The people who were crying, a.k.a. Knowlers, specifically EJ, oh, crap, I don't have my soundboard up.
I can't play
Steve Perry.
I'll own it.
You know, I mean, I would try to find my board, but it would be too much of a journey in this setting. Anyway,
that was good.
This certainly cleans that up, and it gives us a better chance of the Carnell Jones anomaly that we saw in the first year of the college football playoff. So there's some there. You know, now granted, if the ACC dies and Notre Dame is actually forced to join a real conference, that's a separate conversation. But, you know.
I said the ACC is on the way now. Clemson's suing the conference now.
I tried to tell you fools, but you would not listen that the ACC was going to die.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look great for the ACC. Maybe the smoldering remains of the Pac-12 will reform into another congealed mass that doesn't actually mean anything in the long run. But looking at the financial breakdown of the new contract that was agreed on today, the Big Ten and the SEC will earn approximately 58% of the base distribution at 29% each, which would be around $700 million a year. The ACC, while it still exists, will earn around 17%, which will be around in the $400 million range. Big 12 will earn around almost 15%, which would be in like the $350 to $400 million range. And then the remaining 10% will be distributed to Notre Dame, which currently, again, independent, which will get around $12.5 million annually, and the 64 group of five teams, which will spread a share of around $115 million. So a lot of money. As you know, the Big Ten has had the Big Ten and SEC have had like the most to talk about in these negotiations, and we see why, because they are earning more than anybody in the financial breakdown of such. Now the format, like we said, the format will be finalized later. But they are there from my understanding, there are three proposed formats, and maybe we'll attack these one at a time to get our panel's thoughts on them individually. The first one is a 3-3-2-2-1-3 format, and I'll explain. You would get three Big Ten automatic bids, three SEC automatic bids, two ACC, two Big 12, the highest ranked group of five, and then three at large. And actually, let's tackle these two together, because these, again, as I understand it, as we sit today, are the two that are least likely to happen. Then there's a 2-2-1-1-1-7. So it'd be two Big Ten, two SEC, one ACC, one Big 12, one group of five, seven at large. Kyle, I'll start with you. How do you feel about automatic bids, multiple automatic bids per conference?
I like that you led with me here on this, Jim, as the snob of the group who respects that the SEC for some time has produced the greatest college football that money can buy, and just now everybody knows about it too. But with all that being said, I don't like the multiple automatic bids for anybody. Now, granted, all they'll do is formalize what will probably happen anyway, in that SEC teams will make repeat SEC or Big Ten teams, I should say, will make repeat appearances just as at-large teams. Like, you know, when the inevitable happens, Notre Dame making it in the Big Ten bracket is certainly, I think, more inevitable.
It's not funny!
Yeah, it is. But, no, but listen, joking aside, like, you hear what I'm saying with the SEC and Big Ten being the most likely culprits, right? If Ohio or Michigan, your Wolverines, by the way, Jim, make it in,
allegedly,
it's only possible that the Buckeyes or somebody else will follow. Maybe you know, Coach Franklin will finally win a big game, who knows. See, you wave your head no to that, Jim, but then you also just may think it's just as impossible for the Irish to be in a conference. I'm just saying. What, you're not moved by UMass getting some of that Mac shit?
What is, yeah, well, I don't know what's more improbable, Notre Dame joining a conference or James Franklin finally figuring out how to win the big game.
Hey, listen, I believe in money talking more than the Irish. Jim, Coach Franklin's just kind of out of control.
That's true. Matt, how do you feel about multiple automatic bids per conference?
I think the first number you laid out, where there were the uneven ones, kind of confused me a bit. I understand that, you know, like Kyle alluded to, the SEC has kind of reigned supreme in college football recently. But at the same time, there's bound to be that down year where we're struggling to find who that third team is going to be. It hasn't happened often, obviously, but, you know, for the sake of competitive football, I think to give that many automatic bids to any conference would be a mistake. I'm fine with some of the conferences having two, but even that, I feel like, again, might put limitations on the standard of competition that you're getting when it comes time to play.
Like, the balls of the committee to, like, just openly say we're doing this, when, again, it's all but inevitable it would happen that way anyway, that the SEC and the Big Ten would get multiple bids, is just flabbergasting to me. It's a real show of where we are as a sport with college football, that they could just, like, you know, proverbially flop it on the table and say, suck it, here's these automatic bids, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. EJ, same question.
Not a fan. One bid per conference. Look, if you may have a scenario where you'll have like four teams in the SEC who might be deserving getting in. Who knows? They said the season plays out.
Yeah.
So
they'll never be better than FSU. I know that.
Right. Shut up. And having 14, you know, 14 spots now opens that door. So there's no need to have more than one. Keep it as is. Make the conference championship more special in that way. So no, one's enough.
Yeah, I'm the panelist that's talking about putting, you know, minimum rankings on teams, even if they are a conference champion, to qualify. So it's going to come as no surprise to anybody that I am very much against the idea of multiple automatic bids. I mean, because again, like let's be fair, more times than not, especially when you are talking about the Big Ten, especially moving forward with the addition of some of the teams that are coming over, the SEC with some of the teams that are coming over from, you know, with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, like at least right now, you know, you're likely going to have 2, 3, sometimes maybe 4 in a situation, especially when we get to the realm where we're talking about the most likely format that you may end up with 4 teams.
Right. And I just think also one bid also too, it makes the conference champion more special. Sure. When you do automatic bids through multiple conferences, now you're watering down the conference itself. You don't need to do that.
Well, maybe not the conference play altogether, EJ, but certainly the championship game such that it is.
Absolutely.
As somebody who's had the opportunity to cover conference championship games, be it with the black and gold banner at Bing or any of my other outlets as such, you know, covering UCF, those games are electric. And that was, air quotes, just the American. So, I mean, by the way, I feel like this is a relevant question here as we have one alleged Irish fan and 2 Irish fans on the panel. Well, 3 if you count EJ. But, like, I joke about the Irish joining a committee, but A, I think the money will make that happen. And B, if there are multiple automatic bids for a conference and they could A, get more money, and B, be part of that automatic big conversation, would that not increase the likelihood of the Irish joining the Big Ten such that it is? I mean, they're already doing business with NBC, are they not?
They are. So they have their NBC TV contract, which they just extended again this year. And again,
the Big Ten, by the way, I was unclear when I sent that. I meant both those parts.
Yes. Both do. This was year one of the Big Ten's deal. Like I said, Notre Dame extended their contract with NBC. And I mean, so as an independent, they'd be getting $12.5 million guaranteed. Plus if they do make the playoff, then there'd be some sort of financial benefit from that. Similar to like when NFL teams, you know, make playoffs, make Super Bowl, things like that. They get some sort of a benefit. So Notre Dame would get that if they get in. They get $12.5 million even if they don't qualify. So what that ends up breaking down for each team across other conferences. I mean, obviously the Big Ten and SEC, likely those teams are going to be earning more.
$21 million is the number I hear thrown around.
Yeah. So I mean, if Notre Dame gets in, which, you know, that's obviously the goal every year, is to get into the playoff. Is it just as financially, you know, equitable for Notre Dame to just stay independent and control, you know, kind of control their environment? Again, you're never gonna get a conference championship. You're never gonna get a bye, in the opening round. But chances are, if you were in a position to where you would have gotten a bye, you're gonna be the 5 seed. You're gonna be hosting, a game in December in South Bend, and if you're asking Notre Dame, would you rather have a bye week and then play at a neutral site, or do you want to host what is likely going to be a Group of 5 school in South Bend in December? I feel like Notre Dame is probably going to take the home field advantage and run with it, because you're gonna have to, in a postseason world, you're gonna have to win 4 games either way. Either a conference championship and 3 playoff games with the bye, or Notre Dame would have to win 4 playoff games. So I'm still gonna be, you know, the guy playing on the deck of the Titanic while the ship's going down, probably. But I still don't see at current time where Notre Dame is strong armed to have to join a conference.
Well, Jim, and I see you making good football reasons, but Matt, I'll pose this question to you. As good of the football reasons are that Jim offers, what bean counter is going to pass up making $10 million more a year for the institution and increasing the likelihood of getting the playoff bonus?
Yeah, I think that with that comes the level of freedom that Notre Dame's always had to kind of negotiate the contracts the way they do and not be tied to splitting the pot as opposed to being able to go into business for themselves. And that's probably where a lot of the hesitancy comes. And I think that that's why they ultimately will maintain that independence. I won't say, you know, obviously never say never, but I haven't seen a real compelling argument now. I mean, granted, $10 million is nothing to sneeze at, but when you're talking about programs such as these, it's not, I think, going to be enough to make them change the way they've done business.
Well, I'll put it this way. With the price of securing elite players ever increasing, no, I think that's a bigger factor than we're allowing for.
It is, but at the same time, I think the alumni at Notre Dame have pretty deep pockets, and I just don't think that they've been tapped to as much yet, and they haven't probably seen the return of investment that they would be willing to. If we see that moving forward, I think you'll see the checkbooks open up a little bit more.
No, I mean, I appreciate your points of view. I'm not here to say they're wrong.
Well, but I mean, as the sole Notre Dame fan on the panel, I appreciate you.
That's good.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
He's not wrong, though.
He is wrong. So I did the quick math. I can't remember where I can't remember where Arizona was going. But looking at where are they going?
They're the Big 12 now.
Okay.
Well, it will be on July 1st. Yeah.
Okay.
This year. Okay.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I believe they're going to Arizona State, I should say, not Arizona. UCF travels to Arizona State next year. Also, Colorado coming to the Bounce House here in Orlando. Well, looking forward to being there for that game for the black and gold banneret.
Yes.
That is correct. Mikey B joining us. Mikey B, how we doing, my dude?
I just went 7 rounds with an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Oh, dang.
Who won?
We did, because they lost money.
I was gonna say, if you do it right, the house loses money. But looking at the standings pre the selection Sunday standings from this year, in a 14 team format, if I have my math correct, the Big Ten would have earned 4 teams, SEC 4, ACC 1, Big 12 2, and Group of 5 1. Notre Dame would not have qualified. Again, I don't know when those numbers, but see, we don't know like with the formula Notre Dame would earn a spot based on their ranking. So we don't know what that ranking will be. But this without any automatic bids, Big Ten would have gotten 4, SEC would have gotten 4. So, you know, the way it shakes out,
it'll work out anyway for them.
You know, the proposed formats, I don't like either of those first two. The most likely one is going to be this, and I think it's going to be the thing that's most similar to the 12 team format that we're about to see this upcoming season, where Big Ten champ, SEC champ, ACC champ, while it still exists.
For now. For now.
Big 12 champ, the highest ranked Group of 5 champ, and then 9 at-large teams. Which, again, is the numbers that I just crunched probably incorrectly. Trying to remember where teams fall this upcoming year, but we'll deal with that come August. Personally, I am most a fan of this format. EJ, I'll start with you. Is this the likely format, the one that we're getting? Is this your most ideal?
Yeah, and it's the best one too. And it actually plays more into what you were saying about, like, you know, the rankings. More likely, it'll actually put the rankings in play. So, like, you know, you'll have a bunch of Big Ten SEC teams filtering that top 20. So most likely, you'll have them being shoehorned in anyway based on the rank system. So.
Yeah, if there's a year where a conference has a bad year, which is going to be a little bit harder because I think that now the Big Ten has not announced how they are going to format for the upcoming season, if they're going to do what every other conference has been doing over the last couple of seasons and just doom the top two teams play each other in the conference title game, and that's how it should be.
Well, it should be, right.
As opposed to the ridiculous division setup that they have had for a number of...
Is this the Legends?
No, it's East and West now, because when they first did it, it was... Yeah, it was Legends and something.
Claymos and Lunkheads.
But the Legends one was like represented by Joe Paterno, and then I forget what the other division was represented by, and it was like, you know, for obvious reasons, that very quickly went away and it became East West. I think they really, especially as they expand this summer, they need to do away with those. Mike, is the 5-9 the format that you would think is the best?
I would probably say that's realistically the best route to go. I still don't love automatic qualifiers.
Thank you.
Those teams are going to be good enough to get in because they're going to win conferences that are head and shoulders above everybody else. My fear is the best of the Power Five getting in, a 25 ranked Tulane that finishes with one loss in conference play. Are they going to be out there trying to schedule the tougher opponents in the non-conference to make their schedule look good? Or are they going to play the role of let's go undefeated, win our conference, and hope everything falls the way of being the number one team just to get into the playoff?
I hear your concern, Byrne, but as somebody who has covered a team that big names who we're dodging is in the American, my work with UCF, for example, Tulane has become that team, by the way. Great call out by you. But what typically happens is they struggle to schedule, not because they are trying to concentrate only on their conference and only on group of five teams, but it's because the big teams, the blue blood teams, the Power Four, whatever it is now, soon to be three teams, are busy dodging them because they're too worried about their own standing. So, no, I don't think that's how that goes. I think the problem will still remain that the Power Three will be trying to protect themselves and group of five, whoever is going to try to still schedule that to make sure they make that top 25, to make sure that they can sneak in and get the best seating possible at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I'm just now that we've gone from the five to the four to potentially the three to eventually it's just going to be the East Coast versus the West Coast, and it's just going to be a shootout at the OK Corral at the end of it.
The Crips, you know? And the Bloods, just let's be fair.
So the thing that here is, because a lot of these teams are now going to be in the same conference, and you only play, what is it, 11 conference games? Or is it 9 conference games and 11 total?
I think it's usually 9 and then 3 out of conference. But again, as things expand and change,
as these conferences are getting,
yeah,
are teams going to play out of conference games? Are these big four going to even be playing Americans and Sun Belts? You know, is Alabama going to get its week 14 tune up with McNeese State before they play Auburn? You know, is South Carolina going to get to lose to Coastal Carolina on a neutral site in Charlotte or something before they have to play North Carolina? I don't know. Who knows? What are we doing? It's a whole bunch of craziness. I think the 9-5 is probably the best format. I would just do away with automatic qualifiers because the champion of those conferences are automatically going to be in, because there's no way that a number one SEC champion is not going to finish somewhere in the top four. No matter what year of football it is.
By the way, are we even talking about multiple qualifiers at all? Because the states of the Pac-12 and ACC, respectively, like, was the assumption to just reassign those bids to the Big Ten and SEC?
I mean, it's kind of how it almost looked. But I mean, even this year, where I mean, the ACC was just pretty much an unmitigated disaster. You still had one team that would have qualified, you know, like, so Mike and I speak the same language, that like the champions are likely going to be in a position, but you know, again, when you're negotiating these deals, the even the doofus in the corner with the dunce cap, and that's dunce, somehow you work an A and two, an extra C in there. But like even at that point, they're not going to sign a deal that will exclude them as a conference champion. But Matt, the 5-9, is that the favorable?
Yeah, I mean, to give the guaranteed spots, you know, ultimately the cream is going to rise to the crop anyway. So I think just let it play out the way it should and give the spots to the teams that are deserving, and you'll eventually see multiple teams from any given conference anyway.
Yep. Kyle, same?
Most favorable, yes. Most likely, no. The part we're forgetting, gentlemen, is the financier of all this hullabaloo are the networks, and they're under the belief, whether you think it's false, whether you think it's accurate or not, that a relative handful of programs carries the stronger version, or rather the stronger mass and population of the viewership. Gentlemen, the reason we're seeing automatic bids is because the networks are pushing for it, not those conferences necessarily. And for all the billions, yes, with a B, Humpy Bumpies, billions that they're investing into it, especially a company like ESPN that is hemorrhaging cash in certain places. They're going to do every damn thing they can to sell everything they can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the most favorable scenario is the outcome that we get. I think the more realistic one is to have automatic bids of some sort.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, I am definitely the biggest, most in favor of the 5-9. We will certainly see how that breaks out and as this continues to evolve, and maybe we'll have answers later in the off season or by the time we get to our college football preview show coming up in August as we get ready for the new season, which will be, I mean, let's be honest, that's going to be here sooner than we expected. We're already pretty much at the end of March. So we are plugging away or we're recording at the end of March. This is airing in the beginning of April. So and April's going to be coming and gone real quick. And then we're going to be getting even closer. So let's close. We'll close with this for this episode. Because I've seen members of the sports media and others have expressed their concern that continuing to expand the format and I think we're pretty much hitting the sweet spot or the pinnacle. I don't think we need to go any further than this. But again, money talks, and we'll see how that develops over the coming years as well. But the expanded format, plus the rise, of course, of NIL, the transfer portal. A lot of people are talking about this being like the death of college football, and we're the death of college football, at least as we know it. And let's be honest, the death of college football as we know it may have already been come and gone. If we're really being honest exactly. about it,
go that far yet.
But you know, are you guys concerned? And again, EJ, I'll start with you. Are you concerned about the state of college football right now?
Not at all. Change inevitable. Embrace it.
Not at all. You're the one that's suing. Whose team is suing the damn conference to kill it? What the fuck do you mean? Not at all.
I'm okay with it. Change is inevitable. Let's go. Fuck that.
Well, he's in favor of expansion, so his. Yeah. The Seminoles could actually have gotten into a playoff.
Exactly.
So really, it's the ACC's fault. Hey, I'll agree with that. Well played, EJ.
Yeah, well, fuck them too.
I blame you.
Mike, are you concerned about the state of college football?
I mean, I'm going to say I'm more concerned than Ernest is as a fan of a mid-major school.
That's
you
fair.
Know,
I mean, so is EJ, though.
No. Let's be fair. Ernest is actually a fan of a school who just needs to be blasted off this entire planet Earth. It's an egregious abomination. But I digress. And you know, the fact that you have to sue to get out of your conference is an even bigger joke. You know, you guys tried to get in there, now you're crying to get out. Wah.
Hey, Florida State, Clemson, Clemson now, so something's much working.
So wait. That's well, yeah,
hold on. You just compared your crybabies and Dabo Sweeney, who's a crybaby. So why don't you guys go cry in the corner?
It's Jim's favorite coach of all time, by the way, too.
Oh, you love Dabo, don't you, Kim? What an asshole.
So, the concern I have, though, is it's not that the players, I'm happy the players are being compensated. I'm happy they have that opportunity. I'm happy that things are evolving. The problem and the thing that I think that I'm concerned about, though, is are we making it where it's so top heavy that you're taking the 4-star prospects and basically making them the equivalent of 2-star prospects? You know, the concern that I have is that we're going to bloat 4 huge conferences that I feel that we should almost do it like it's different brackets. Just put the top 6 teams or 8 teams from the Power 4 in a bracket. Let them play for something. Let the next, the group of 5 play for something. Division 2 has their own playoffs. Because at this point, you're kind of thinning out the ability for the mid-major school to contend with your Notre Dames, your powerhouses in the lower southeast. So that's my concern, is that you may have programs that flounder because of the overbloatation of conferences moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's a fair concern. Matt, are you concerned about college football and the state of college football?
No, just because I think that given the success we've seen from a financial and monetary standpoint, that the sport itself will always be safe. You know, obviously with the moving around to different conferences, I think that, you know, for people who are, you know, big fans of different conferences, you know, then there would be cause for concern. But again, as the lone Notre Dame fan on the panel and supporting a school that's never been in a conference, that's not really a concern for me.
Wow. By the way, I'm sorry to hear about the head trauma that made you forget about the 2020 season where you were, in fact, temporarily.
We all forget about 2020. Oh, yeah. At least we try to. I pay a therapist a good amount of money to try to forget about things like that.
We were all traumatized. I even had to teach a semester at kindergarten, for Christ's sake. I get it, buddy. But listen, yeah, Matt knows that pain, I'm sure. Hell, Burn, I'm sure you know that pain. EJ, well, your kids kick your ass so much, you're practically like they're school bullies anyway. So adjustment there.
Way out of line, way out of line.
That's not a line, buddy.
But but I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. Anyways. Oh,
what the fuck happened?
I want to know.
With that being said, I am concerned about college football, but only with a different anomaly that appears to be on the horizon. Mikey Byrne, your concern about top-heavy stuff coming to pass, frankly, NIL roots that out because a backup player in the SEC was still getting something, air quotes, under the table in the previous thing, allegedly. Now they could get
allegedly
paid and play and get film, which is the real goal of prospects of that level, right? Look at how many guys have transferred out of one place and to another. Listen, I have no idea how your Coastal Carolina Chanticleers managed to keep Grayson McCall so long, right? But had he left, they probably would have just snagged a backup that was trying to get, you know, some sort of money and playing time that didn't get it. Mid-major programs snag quarterbacks from major programs all the time. Look at Tommy Castellanos out of UCF going to BC, a major school going to a mid-major. It's such an example right there. You know, a team that FSU beat only by one. Anyways, so what? Yeah,
you really missed me, didn't you? You really missed me, huh?
Why, what the fuck are you talking about?
All the shots in.
No, but I make all the jokes here to say what really concerns me is this stuff that I like to call him Charlie Brown, but I know that's not his real name. Charlie Davis, the president of the NCAA, with this subdivision concept where they're going to be actively taking off all the barriers. People talk about the Wild Wild West. They don't know yet that they're going to be, you know, giving as much as $30,000 per. When that ish hits the fan, when Title IX starts hitting, when the costs get so prohibitive, that is when you're mid-majors, when the sport itself will truly be impacted. And I think it may be beyond any reasonable recognition. The only way I could see that getting saved in the not scenario is if Amazon or Google or somebody like that sees an opportunity to strike hard to get into the college sports game and create an alternative to that. I mean, imagine a world where the NCAA is a viable opportunity. Yeah, I can't either. That would be why they would invest in something like the Big 12, who has so many up-and-coming schools with schools that exist in metropolitan areas and bigger TV markets, typically speaking. I mean, look at Florida. Tallahassee and Gainesville, they're not moving the map. Orlando and Tampa, though, conversely, you know, or South Florida, I should say, not Tampa necessarily, because contrary to popular belief, Tampa isn't in South Florida. Shouts to the Bulls and UCF, playing in the NIT as we record this. But that's where I get concerned, is that subdivision concept where they're tearing off the Band-Aid and going to try real, actual pay-for-play. That's the part that's scary.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of unknown, and I think for a long time we just kind of some people loved, other people just learned to accept and or possibly appreciate the structure that was college football with conference systems and bowl systems, and then you had the BCS, and then the playoff got here, and then you know, things started to change. Some say for the better, others say for worse. But I think I'm not necessarily as much concerned about the future of college football as I am curious to see where we're going, because there is a lot of unknowns. And I think the next couple of years are really going to be telling for like the short term and long term future of college football. So yeah, it's going to be something that we're going to try to stay on top of and make as much sense of as we can on this show, as long as this show is around. So but that's where we're going to close her up for this episode. So let's go around the panel here. EJ, tell the people where they can follow you.
EJ Christian 7 on Twitter, the podcast, and N1 is back on this feed too. So yeah, check it out.
You got one episode. Let's not call it back yet.
Well, by the time this episode airs, I'll have about 2, 3, or 4 already. Buddy.
We'll see. Okay. Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
All right.
Shut your ass.
Be slightly over three episodes. Wait, yeah. All right. That's that.
Mikey B, tell him.
You can follow me on Twitter at They Call Me Burn. If you listen to this feed, you can listen to the Mount Rushmore themed show, The Mount, with me and my good friend Jason Gross. Look forward to discussing some more fun stuff here before we get ready for the hard relaunch come August.
All right, Matt.
Yeah, you can follow me across all platforms at Teaching to the Choir. You can hear me on Mondays on the Maximize Monday podcast, Tuesdays, Thursdays on the 3CT podcast, and twice a year, said 2 episodes on The Pitch.
There we
Never
go.
Never again on Earnestly Speaking.
You're a smarter man than I. Student of the game, Kyle Nash. Tell him.
Yes, I got to tell you, EJ doing the and one finally, getting Matt to pod, that is The Pitch. EJ's did it. Why can't you? Listen, dad joke out of the way. Of course, I am Kyle Nass, the student of the game. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at SOPG. Find me on Facebook as a student of the game. Check out my writings with the 3-Point Conversion, Jaguar Report, and the Black and Gold Banneret, as well as my other podcast, the student of the game podcast, 9 p.m. on Wednesdays Eastern Time here, of course, on the Huddle Up YouTube channel. And much like it, the other show I do, the Duval Dive Jaguars podcast with my guy, Travis Holmes of BigCatCountry.com. That'll be Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, unless, you know, some life happens, whatever. But then, of course, my work with A7BN Sports covering the Orlando Magic. Look also as well for the Duval Dive on the 3-Point Conversion iHeartRadio channel, and both the Student of the Game and the Duval Dive, 12 to 2 Sunday, with oldschool101.com. Am I forgetting something, or are you just going through the Rolodex?
I'm just going through the Rolodex. Steve, you got to everything, Kyle. My bad. Hold on.
That's getting to be. Listen, I'm not going to lie.
No, you're good.
Cool. Yeah, I think I'm done.
All right. You can follow me.
Sure. Superlatives with Mikey Burt.
You can follow me at Big Jim Sports. Most importantly, make sure you follow this show at Huddle Up Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, while it's still there. We are at Huddle Up Podcast Inc. on Instagram. You get our merchandise over at tpublic.com, but make sure you are subscribed to the show. And again, click that subscribe button on YouTube if you are there. Rate and review the podcast where you can, and tell somebody about it. We certainly appreciate all the support all the time. But until the next time we catch you on the here in the off season, stay safe, stay smart, and as always, go for the win.